What a privilege again. I can't imagine anything I'd rather be doing than spending time in Norway with Eivind and H.R. Norge. This is just a thrill.
More than maybe other things, you are connected to the HR competency model, or may I say models, because you have been, during the years, done a lot of research on which competencies drive effect for the end users. And first of all, who are the end users of HR?
We've discovered, and thank you for your question. First, we've discovered over the last 30 years that the competencies that drive outcomes change about 30 to 40% every 5 years. So what one was successful with when we started our research in the late 1980s is no longer the same set of skills that we find today in the late 2019-2020, that there's a 30 to 40% change. The second thing, and you said it very nicely, is that it's not about the competence I have. It's whether or not my competence will create an outcome. And we look at three outcomes. One is my personal effectiveness. Am I seen as an effective HR professional? And what set of competencies drive that? Two, my ability to serve the business. How well do I serve customers and investors outside the business? And which competencies drive those outcomes? Third, my ability to deliver business results. What we have found is the outcome of personal effectiveness, business delivery, and business results have separate competencies. And we're continuing to explore those issues.
Well, we are now going to start up the next round of the HR competency study. And the last round, you focused on three core competencies, and you put it so nicely when you talked about strategic positioner, paradox navigator, and credible activist. From my perspective, the strategic positioner was the real new one together with paradox navigator. We have elements of those two competencies from earlier models, but they were so focused. And for me, that meant a lot in order to understand the concept of HR as a strategic position or function. And would you be kind to explain to me what you see in the future of strategic positioner? Because in a more VUCA world, the strategic role of HR is about to take in the bigger picture and transform it into HR actions. And when the picture is like it is today, that competency might be, I think, even more important in the future. What do you think?
When we started this study, we talked about HR people should know the business. And what that meant was the language of the business. Can you read an income statement? Can you read a balance sheet? That's the foundation. Then we said, do you know how your company makes money? Then we said, do you know who your customers are, your investors? So do you know outside in? Where we see strategic positioner continuing to evolve is the context. What are the changes in digital, in technology, in the social setting that changes what your company can and should be in the future? I think we'll see more of that. The content is king. You got to have good content. But the context is the kingdom in which the king resides. And I don't mean this to be a gender-based, but the content matters. How do we make money? But the context or the kingdom where we'll compete to make money is going to vary. And so we see increasingly HR's job knowing that strategic context in which we work.
When the strategic picture is becoming more and more difficult to handle, you are led into paradoxes, and you have to navigate into paradox navigator. Explain.
The concept of paradox for me is just a marvelous one. It's not new. It's in Chinese, the yin and the yang. In a world of contextual change, as you said so brilliantly, when you can't predict the future from the present, what you've got to be able to do is have incredible personal agility to adapt wherever that future may lead you. There are times we should be top down, times we should be bottom up. There are times we should be diverse and encourage diversity and divergent thinking. There are times we should be focused and have convergent thinking. So in the context where there's uncertainty and ambiguity, VUCA, if you will, the ability to navigate paradox helps HR be personally effective. And we found in our research that skill set for HR people has the biggest impact on business results. So a simple hypothetical. I'm in HR, I'm in a room, and this group tends to reach convergence too fast. Here's the decision, here's our solution. My job is to encourage divergence. Before we jump forward, what are some alternatives? What else could we consider? Or I'm in the same room, and this group tends to be too divergent. Look at all these opinions. Here's what we could do, and we never focus. My job then is to be convergent. And so understanding paradox allows HR to step in where the team may need help, depending on what their focus is.
Individuals matters. And that also comes to HR professionals. You have to be credible, and you have to be credible with an attitude. The credible activist role has been with us for some time. And I think that is an excellent way of explaining that we need to mix competencies. What does it take to be credible and activist at the same time, and why do we have to be both?
This is one of those great paradoxes. Think of a parent with a child. There are times to be loving and caring. I love my children. I care about my children. That's credibility. There are times with my child to be disciplinarian, to say, don't run in the street, don't buy that house, don't do some of this. And learning to be tough love, if you will, is the same kind of thing as a credible activist. HR should be credible. We should be trusted. We should have somebody else's view in mind. That credibility comes, though, when there are times we need to take a position. If we go down this strategic direction, we don't have the people to get there. We don't have the culture to get there. Here's the additional cost, the additional burden that the company will have to pay. And so then we become an activist. We become somebody who has a point of view, who takes a position. Knowing when to do that, to build credibility and to take an activist position, is one of the things that helps HR people get invited to a meeting. Sometimes HR people have a false positive where they think, oh, I'm just nice and they really love me, they'll invite me. They'll invite you because you're nice, but they won't ask you to stay. Because if all you do is affirm and you're credible and you're warm and you're friendly all the time, they're going to go, why are you here? I want someone with an activist. I want someone to take a point of view. I want someone to appropriately challenge my thinking so that we both learn together. So that's where that credible activist is more than just a trusted advisor, personal credibility. That's where the credible activist idea begins to come in.
What is fascinating about HR, one of the things is that it has all kind of professionalism in it. It has to do with marketing. It has to do with economics. It has to do with everything. And for each and every individual, they can look at these all these kind of frameworks and think that I'm not good enough. I'm not mastering it. And your competency model and your research has focused on the qualities of the HR department more than the HR individual the last round. And do you see that trend going on?
Yes. Simple answer, now a substance behind it. When we measured business results, we looked at two different things. Look at your left hand with five fingers. That's talent. That's people. That's skill set. Look at your right hand as a fist. That's the team. That's the system. When we looked at those two things, talent versus organization, the people versus the process, the individual competence versus the organizational capability, we tried to figure out which of those two have more impact on business results. We were surprised. It's one of the beauties of data with 1,200 businesses and 30,000 people across those businesses that the team, the right hand with a fist, had four times the impact. Let me say it again. Four times the impact on business results than the individual competencies. People matter. teamwork matters even more. And so as we go to the next round of our research, and we are so honored to have HR Norge join us, we are going to look at what can an HR professional do to create that sense of teamwork, that sense of organizational capability at every level in the company, not just if you're a senior HR officer, but if you're a plant manager, if you're a division manager in HR, if you're a geography manager. What can HR people do to create organizational capabilities, our language, that are better than individual competencies at every level in the HR roles and functions? We don't know how to do that quite yet. That's what we want to study and get better insight on.
If you listen to this and you are HR officer at a small, medium-sized company, you might be even more frustrated because you don't have the resources as the huge companies have. What is your best advice to them?
Be delighted where you work. We have found that HR's impact on business results is generally higher in small companies than big companies, because in a small medium enterprise with 100 or 300 or under 500 people, the HR person is on the business team, not just as an HR person, but as a business player. And so we have actually found that the impact of HR investments in talent and culture and leadership in smaller companies is actually in some cases higher than bigger companies. Now, you don't have resources. One of the things we've learned is there are groups together, and you could find that council through HR Norge or others, that do the administrative work of HR. And especially with HR technology, the three major players, SAP, Oracle, Workday, they have technology solutions that allow small companies even not to be burdened by the administrative, legacy administrative challenges of HR.
If we're on to tech, what should HR bring to the table when it comes to tech? Because a lot of those who go into HR, they are not necessarily there because they are so good at tech. They come from other professions. This is maybe the weak point for many of us. What should we bring to the table?
In the last few years, every few years in the HR field, there's a new focus. It was on millennials and generations. It's been on performance management. It's been on quality. The latest, greatest focus is digital HR. And there seem to have been two major waves. One is make HR more efficient through digitalization. So take our existing HR practice, put it into a technology platform, either through one of the big vendors or one of the apps. The second wave is innovation. And Josh Burson is the expert in this space, and he said in the last 3 years, there have been over 2,700 new HR apps. We're seeing incredible innovation in staffing and training and performance reviews and well-being. I think the efficiency and the app innovation are really critical. But I think the next two waves of good HR digital is information and connection. Hopefully, what HR digital can do is provide information and analytics that is not just a scorecard or predictive analytics, but gives what we call guidance. So use the digital HR to guide choices that will help the business be more successful. And that guidance idea is one that we're starting to focus on. If I'm 40 years old and I want to retire at age 60 with a certain sum of money, I'll go to a financial advisor who will give me guidance and say, given what you have today, here's the amount of risk you need to take, here's the amount of money you need to save so that you can reach your number at age 60. I'm over 60, so I've obviously not reached my number, or I'm not working for the money. But provide information through digital. And the next wave is connection. Too often, those who spend time in digital isolate themselves. We use technology and digitization to separate ourselves rather than to connect us. I think legacy HR digital has been about efficiency and innovation, first two waves. I think going forward, it needs to be even more about information to provide guidance and connection to build long-term relationships.
Thank you very much, Dave, for sharing your insights. Thank you for visiting here.
I'm not done. This is so fun to be with the one of the pivotal thought leaders in Norway in HR. Evan, what do you see as the future of HR in Norway? Where do you see HR being most helpful as Norway moves forward? What would you see?
The position of HR Norway is that we talk about a triangle. We talk about company, we talk about individuals, and we talk about society. And in Scandinavian culture, I think that the societal part of HR is very, very strong. And we haven't had that breach of trust we can see elsewhere between companies and individuals. So for me, the strength of that triangle is very strong. And I think that the HR should definitely be and navigate within that triangle and bind it together. And I think it's so important that the HR has a strong business perspective. At the same time, I'm not afraid that we will lose our individual perspective. And I'm quite sure that those who are entering HR, they have a value base which is very strongly linked to the individual. So I think keeping those lines together between individuals and companies, but also see this in a societal context. I'm really afraid that we will not be inclusive enough in the years to come. And a society that will obviously be a challenge if companies start to sub-optimalization. So for me, that is the whole and the concept of HR, and it should be business focused, individual focused, and societal society focused at the same time. And I think we have a good starting point, but to work on that triangle, I think it's highly important.
I would totally agree. I think the individual, we in HR help individuals make their knowledge into productivity. For the companies, we build legacy capabilities. And in society, I really agree with your focus that we create social citizenship, that we create a context in our society where people can grow and thrive and have citizenship, but in the right setting. Thank you. That was very helpful for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us at this podcast, Dave Ulrich.